Genesis chapter 30, beginning at verse 25. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourselves know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all the flock or your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban remained. But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places, where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the stripe and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. It is interesting as we look at this short passage. We see this interaction between Jacob and Laban. And if we were just to read this, we would see there, oh, there's old Jacob, being a Jacob again. We remember how he was with his brother and with his father. He wanted something, the blessing. He wanted the right to the firstborn and go. Those are connected, of course. So, two instances, he got it from his brother for a pot of lentil stew. And then his brother, though he wanted it, he wanted to repent. As we're told later, he did not find repentance. Jacob and Jacob's mother, Rebekah, figured out a way how they could get the blessing and deceive his father. We saw last week that Jacob, the deceiver, was deceived by Laban, his uncle, and which wife he got first, though he probably only wanted one wife, and that was Rachel. And last week we saw the what some people call the birth wars. But we saw in that passage that what was going on was God was beginning to, in some way, to fulfill the promise of prospering Jacob, of giving him more descendants, and started to branch that out, that ultimately finds his fulfillment in Jesus Christ. But here we seem to have deja vu when we first read this passage. Here's Jacob being another Jacob. But as we look at this passage, I want to draw your attention to an old radio show that I used to listen to back in the 70s and 80s. I used to listen to the local radio station, KABC, 780 in L.A. And there was a radio show that actually had a segment on it that started in World War II. And the personality that had it was named Paul Harvey. I can tell the old people they're doing this. Other people, who? Well, Paul Harvey had a short clip, and it was called The Rest of the Story. And I loved The Rest of the Story. If anyone has ever heard The Rest of the Story, you would love it too. You can find out about it on Wikipedia. It explains it this way. The Rest of the Story was a Monday through Friday radio program originally hosted by Paul Harvey, beginning as part of his newscast during World War II, and then premiering on his own series on ABC Radio Network on May 10, 1976. The Rest of the Story consisted of stories that presented as little known or forgotten facts on a variety of subjects with some kind of element of the story, usually a name of some well-known person, held back until the end. And then when he gave you the rest of the story, you go, wow. And we need to read this passage as if it was the rest of the story. Because if you just read Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 through 43, we just see Jacob's deceiver. But that's not what's happening. But before we see the rest of the story, let's look at what's going on here and to help us. Remember, Jacob has worked and got his wages. His wages were two wives for 14 years. 14 years of work. So now he's free. And I guess all these children were born in those 14 years. That's what seems to be very prolific. For he had four wives to get all those kids, or four women. Two wives and two concubines. And so now he wants to go home. Homesick. God promised to bring him back. God promised to prosper him where he was. Remember when he left Bethel, he was despondent. And as we read in chapter 35, he called this time the day of his distress. And we've borrowed the statement from Ian Duggan. He calls this time his Jacob's wilderness years. His time of struggle, his time of oppression, and we've likened it to Israel's time in Egypt. And of course, Christ's time of incarnation. We'll see parallels again. But now he wants to go back to the home. He wants to go back to the promised land. God has been with him in his wilderness years, and we'll see here he's still with him. But he says, give me my wives and my children whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service I have given you. But Laban says to him, if I have found favor in your sight. Look at that phrase. Usually, that is what the lesser says to the greater, isn't it? That tells you the way there's a sense in which Laban is looking to Jacob. It's what's happening here, as he'll say, is Laban has been being blessed because of Jacob. And that's why he's looking to him. See, Jacob is not just a good worker. Is not just a great, prosperous worker. Something else is going on here. And Laban recognizes it. He says here, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Now, there's a note there attached to that, because it could be I have become rich, and whether he learned it by divination or whether he just perceived, he knows that God is blessing him, Laban, because of Jacob. And guess what? He doesn't want to lose that. So he says, name your wages and I'll give it. All I know is that if I keep you here, I'm going to be blessed. So Jacob said to him, you know yourself how I've served you and how your livestock has fared. And he even says, for you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. Because of Jacob, Laban is blessed. But Jacob says, what about my household? So he says, okay, name your wages. And so he names his wages. And it's interesting. He talks about spotted or speckled and striped and black. You got to understand that if you're Laban hearing this, usually these animals aren't spotted or streaked. And a black sheep is not as rare as a black pearl, but they're pretty rare. So he's saying, wow, good. I'll get the majority, and you'll just get, your wages will be small. Hey. So he's going to agree to it. We've got to ask, we wonder why Jacob would even propose it. Oh, well, look at the rest of the story. Seems like a bad deal. And he says, my honesty will answer for me later when I come back, when you come back and look. Basically, if I have any of the wrong ones, then they're yours and you can. So they make the deal. And he says, this day I will go through your flock and pick out my wages, which won't be a lot. But actually, it looks like there will be even fewer than maybe what Jacob expressed. Because look what it says. Verse 34, Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. Verse 35, but that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. You see, before Jacob can go to get them, Laban removed them and put them with his sons. What's he doing? He's cheating and deceiving. But then we read these weird plans in verse 37 following of what Jacob's doing. He's taking these things, he's peeling them, he's putting them in the water. He's strong one, we're going, he's trying to use magic, or he's trying to use like mandrakes, isn't he? He's trying to use wisdom or whatever to accomplish. That's what's happening. Jacob is being Jacob and Laban is being Jacob, and it's just all a mess. But now I want to read to you the rest of the story. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 31. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all of our fathers. Oh, by the way, forgot to say, at the end of verse 40, we're told that the blessing went to Jacob and Laban had nothing. I call that in the sermon title, is that Jacob ended up plundering Laban. And it seemed like, at the end of chapter 30, it's by deceit and by trickery. But now let's see the rest of the story. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and what was our father's, he has gained all his wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where the flock was. And he said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, the spotted and speckled shall be your wages, then the flock bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise and go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion of the inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. You see, we have some insight of why Jacob did these weird things. It's because of God's revelation. God revealed to him in a dream. Jacob wasn't being a deceiver. Jacob was being obedient to the Lord. And in the obedience to the Lord, to the dream that he heard, in obedience to the dream, Jacob, who was blessing Laban, God used this dream so that God would use these things and would overrule and plunder Laban for the benefit of Jacob. The rest of the story. My story, huh? Great little radio show. But that's not the rest of the story. God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Bethel, repeating the Abrahamic promise at Bethel to Jacob. And Jacob, in the day of his distress, goes to a foreign land, has servitude to his uncle. His uncle is blessed because of Jacob. And then Jacob later plunders. God plunders Laban through Jacob. Remind you of Jacob's tribes, Israel itself with Joseph. Joseph goes where? He goes to Egypt. And there are dreams. There's a revelation even before he goes, and there are dreams with a baker and a butcher, with a baker and a cupbearer. And what happens? Egypt is blessed because of Jacob, because of Joseph. And Jacob mentions something here. Your father doesn't see me now as he did before, just like the Egyptians later on didn't consider Israel because that Pharaoh died and they had a day of tribulation. What was happening in the microcosm of Jacob's life is being repeated. Here's the true deja vu in the life of Israel. And what does, when Israel, on the eve when they go out of Egypt, they were slaves. What happens? We're told that God again, through miracles, would have the Egyptians be plundered by the Israelites. And the way that happened is the Egyptians gave them gold and silver, and they gave them, here, take it. And Israel went out with it. Plundered the Egyptians. What did Israel do with the plundered materials? With the plundered materials, what did they do with it? But eventually, that was the material they used to build the tabernacle. All that gold and silver and bronze, where'd that come from? It come from the plundering of the Egyptians. But that's still not the rest of the story. You see where that's going? They plundered to build the tabernacle. And there's the true Israel of God, Jesus, who's never called Jacob, but he's called the true Israel of God. He does say, out of Egypt I called my son, in Matthew. And that was reported from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, recounting the Exodus, which is the connection. But I want to draw your attention especially to Matthew chapter 12. an incident where there's blasphemy, mentions the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but where Jesus actually heals a demon-possessed man. Begin at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 12. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw, and all the people were amazed. Notice, he was blind, but now he sees. Can this be the Son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man cast out demons." You see, they attributed it not to the work of God through the Son of David, which the crowd saw through the promised Son, but they attributed it to Satan. Verse 25, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand?" Stop there just for a second. Remember what happened to the kingdom of Egypt when Israel left? It was pretty much destroyed. All the miracles that have caused and all the curses, and then even finally the army in the Red Sea, it was decimated. Verse 27 of Matthew 12. "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." But look at the next verse in relationship to Jacob plundering Laban and Israel plundering the Egyptians. "Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house." What is Jesus doing? Why does he talk about plundering? Who's the strong man? It's clear the strong man is Satan. Who's binding the strong man? It's one who's stronger. Jesus, God. Who's plundering the strong man's house? Jesus, God. The true Israel, the true Jacob. What's he plundering? Gold? Silver? No, demon-possessed men, sinners. People who make golden calves. That's what he's plundering. What's he going to do with what he plunders? Build a temple, isn't he? With stones, living stones. There's a promise in Isaiah about the eunuchs, that, you know, the eunuchs won't have children. "I will grant them to be a pillar in the temple of my God." You see, when we read about Jacob, see, in the past of Jacob, there's another connection with Jacob here in chapter 30 and 31 with Jesus. You see here is a type, a microcosm. It's type. They're not always perfect, but they're there. It's a type of Christ. But notice what's going on in that passage. Unlike the way he treats his brother, where he lies and deceits, as he's dealing with Laban, he doesn't seem to lie and deceive his way. He does it because he's obedient, and as he's obedient, he is oppressed by Laban, and though he's oppressed by Laban in his obedience, the Lord blesses him. So now I want you to do is go and obey God, be oppressed, and then you'll plunder all the sheep and the money, and or we're the faith people. Just use God's word, and he's going to bless you because you're going to plunder the Berkeleyites or whatever people who are your enemies. You're going to plunder them. Is that the promise here? No. You are not the plunderer. You're the plundered. That's the rest of the story. You're not the obedient one who receives it. It is Christ who's the obedient one. Again, it's fulfilling the promise. What's the Abrahamic promise? I will bless you and bless those who bless you, those and curse you, I will curse, and I will bless all peoples. I heard a sermon by somebody on this passage that talked about, you know, as Laban is being blessed by Jacob, similar to Egypt being blessed by Joseph, that's a picture of all nations being blessed. I don't think it works because it's only a short blessing. They're the ones who end up being ultimately cursed. The blessing to the nations does not happen to the nations as nations until the time of Christ and singing among the Gentiles. There are those, again, we know this through Old Testament, that there are those who are of different nations, like some Moabites and some people maybe in a little town called Jericho, who actually come in and are blessed, who are part of the plundered. But they're plundered, and we know they're plundered. I'm speaking of Ruth and Rahab. They're plundered. The strong man was, how do you know they're plundered? Well, because they heard. They heard the word of God. They knew the God of Israel, and they put their trust in him. Ruth, where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. Your God is my God. Brothers and sisters, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are plundered by him. That's your rejoice. That is your blessing. But you're not only plundered, but you're used, and we're being built into the temple, which means we're being beautified. I don't know if you know much about construction, but in the midst of construction, it's a mess. Dust and dirt. There's another analogy. We're a mess. But when it's finished, when our Lord returns.
Another reason why I wanted to use the rest of the story is been around here long enough, you always know. What is the rest of the story? Remember in Paul Harvey, it's usually a person's name. When you read the Bible, what's the rest of the story? Say it.
Jesus.
Now, we want to be careful how we get there. We need to be careful. But I think Scripture does show us these passages that speak. Huh? I use it all over again. Galatians 3:16, what does that say? The promises were made to Abraham and to his seed. It does not say seeds as in many, but seed as in one, that is Jesus Christ. He's saying that the Abrahamic promise in Genesis 15 was made between Abraham and Jesus. What we're showing you is typologically in the Old Testament is made between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob here is a type of Christ, think of it as a parable, a parable. That's what a type is. It's a parable. It's a shadow. And when the Bereans were looking in Scripture to make sure what Paul was saying about Jesus was true, what were they searching? They were searching the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. When Jesus taught those on the road to Emmaus, he started with Moses and explained all that the Scripture spoke about him. Brothers and sisters, you need to see that Jesus was the one who was oppressed. In his day of distress, Jesus was the one who was blessed by God And because of the blessing, he's going to bless the nations, but the part of the nations that he blesses are the plundered ones, the ones who come to him. That is why we preach and teach the gospel, because when we do that, we are being used by him in his plundering. He's still plundering. Why is he not returning? Because he's still bringing gold and silver to be refined by the gospel and the Spirit. Let's go to now prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing. We, like so many, were blind, but now we see. We didn't hear. We were deaf, but now we hear. Jesus mentioned when Jesus' expectation, or the expectations of many in the New Testament, but Jesus did not meet their expectation, thinking of John the Baptist. And Jesus said to John's messengers, report what you have seen. The deaf hear and the lame walk. Oh, Father, he freed them. He plundered them. We are so thankful that we're not our own, but we are freed by becoming plunder in Jesus Christ. Bless us, Father. In Christ's name we pray.